Good morning. Welcome to the MT for Christ 247 podcast. I'm MT Clark, and this little Zoom meeting is more than a Zoom meeting. It's a Bible study, and it's a program that we produce that we call Bible Study with the Sincottis, as we are joined by Arthur and Susanna Sincotti. Tammy Lynn Clark, my wife, is also here for the study to sit
Yes.
in on the study that Arthur sent to us entitled Five Fruits. And before we dig into the fruit of the loom, we'll see how Arthur's doing. Say good morning and invite him to pray us in. So good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning, everyone. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Joy to be engaged with the breath of life again this morning.
Amen.
And
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you and praise you and honor you this morning with the fruit of our lips, Lord, as we come humbly before you into your presence, enjoying every facet and aspect of life that you bless us with. We profess that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. And Lord, we embrace that truth this morning as we engage with you and your word, as we share with one another and whoever is listening with grateful hearts and anticipation for you to open the eyes of our hearts, Lord God, to recognize those nuggets of truth nestled in your word that will change us, change our perspective, change our hearts, change us into the image of your Son, which is a central theme and certainly the desire of your heart, that you would have a pure and spotless bride. And Lord, we thank you for this process of sanctification that you bring us through. We humbly apologize and ask for your forgiveness for the times when we've come through kicking and screaming, Lord, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to have your way in us today and move with liberality in our midst. In Jesus' name, we pray. And we also take a moment, Lord God, to pray for the peace of Israel and the peace of Jerusalem right now. Lord, we pray for safety and peace in that region. And we ask that you would accomplish this in the power of your Spirit. The battle belongs to you, Lord. And we know how the story ends. Praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Yeah, while you were praying just now and listening to you guys getting started a few minutes ago here, Mark, and you banter back and forth, I love
Banter.
that. Yes. I often wonder, you said we're praying for those people who are listening or watching, our little Bible study here. And I often wonder if you guys who are listening or watching would like to say something. Because I know Arthur likes to say something, Mark likes to say, I like to say something, Tammy Lynn is writing things down. I know she's got things to add. But I just often wonder how many times I've watched a show or watched a YouTube tape or something, and I want to say, but wait a minute, I want to say something. I
I
want to say
always want to
something.
say something.
Mark, do you ever get, folks saying, sending in a little note, or can they send in a note or something like that if they have a question or if they have a comment?
Yeah, as I've said on other podcasts, basically any questions or comments can be sent to mtforchrist247@gmail.com. And we do get some feedback. I was talking to Arthur before we started about a woman who was asking about help with spiritual deliverance. And also this week I got contacted by a pastor in South Africa, who's
We're
requesting,
available.
who is requesting materials for the Bondage Breaker study that I have on the podcast. So I do hear occasionally, and we had six new subscribers to the YouTube channel this week. So we're up to 416,
Yes.
410.
Hi, welcome.
So
This is
like
great.
I said, we're a ministry of encouragement. We're here to equip people, give people hope, to accomplish the things that you thought you would always have to struggle with. And so
Right.
there's an open door for people to speak into. And it's on every podcast, every blog post, and every blog post gives that information, the email at the bottom, basically, to contact us. So So yeah,
it rose up in my spirit. And I just thought, you know, there may be somebody out there that really would like to get some help or talk to somebody or get some prayer or any of those kind of things. So just a question.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, in the meantime,
here for
let's dive into our study.
That's today. It.
Five fruit. Much of our content is taken from John 15, and we're going to read the whole section 1 to 8 in a moment. Give the opening verses, but the context is referred to throughout the study, and it's a very important passage of scripture, I think. But the opening verse is, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And in the New English translation, it says, my Father is honored by this, that you bear much fruit, and show that you are my disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot packed into that verse, and we're going to unpack that as best we can this morning with the help of the Holy Spirit. As much as I love this verse, I said, it's a little vague in that poses the question, what does Jesus mean by bear fruit? What does he mean by fruit? So that's what we're going to look at earlier in this portion of scripture. He speaks of abiding and pruning and branches. These agricultural metaphors can be a little confusing, especially to those of us who get our fruit at the supermarket, right? You know, wrapped in cellophane, that kind of thing.
So, those of us who are, you know, want to be gardeners, you know, I've always had a garden, and now we're in the springtime, and I'm looking at catalogs, and I'm going into shops and see the seed packets, and I go through my seed packets that I've kept from the years before, and speaking with some other ladies that are, you know, gardeners, and we're talking about what are we going to plant this year and what are we going to plant that year, next year. And then seeing our peach tree blossom this year.
Yeah, we have
bear some fruit this year because it didn't last year.
We have two peach trees and they're looking good right now. Praying and hoping that we don't get an unexpected frost again that kills those blossoms. But so this is where we're delving this morning. It was actually posed by a conversation I was having with my pastor, and I asked him to define fruit, you know. So he didn't do that, so I went ahead and did it for him. I see five possibilities, answers to the question. There may be more. I don't intend to endorse one over the other, but I believe it to be wisdom to consider and embrace all five. And we always want it. So Revelation 22:2 speaks of 12 fruits, but I could only come up with five. So it's always a good idea to leave room for growth in God and mystery as well. Just as an aside, the number five symbolizes God's grace, goodness, and favor towards humans. The word five is recorded 345 times in scripture. Since five represents grace, then it's multiplied by itself to produce 25, which is grace upon grace. That's John 1:16. Hallelujah. The Ten Commandments contain two sets of five commandments, and the first five commandments are related to our treatment and relationship with God, with the remaining one concerned with our relationship with other humans. There are five primary types of offerings God commanded Israel to bring, and burnt offerings, trespass, grain, peace offerings, and there's another one in there. In any event, we get the idea. We're not conformed to the number five, but I just wanted to pass that on. I love gematria and how that weaves into our study. I wonder if I could impose on Tammy Lynn to read John 15, 1 to 8 for us this morning. John 15, 1 through 8, just to get the context of what we're studying.
She's on her phone, so she's ready to go.
Oh, great. You know, I was saying to someone last week, they should have a page flipping app on the phone
so that pages,
the sound of your flipping pages. Yeah, but I miss that. I really miss that.
That's one of my favorite things. You know, the pastor would say, go to such and such scripture, and you hear the Bibles, everybody turning into their Bible. I used to love that sound too.
Okay, let's go for it.
John what?
John 15.
I am the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
Amen. There's the full context of this verse, and we see a lot of fruit bearing and fruit referred to in these verses. And we know that this is a metaphor, that Jesus is using metaphoric language and to bring forth and express a principle. And so this morning, our intent is to unpack that and determine what he means when he's talking about fruit. So one probability is that and this is popular with evangelicals, that fruit is equivalent to souls. Fruit equals souls. We gather this from Galatians 1:28, which says, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Now, obviously, the literal meaning of this verse is to procreate, right? But the deeper meaning that we also glean from Genesis is to reproduce after your own kind. And in Genesis 1:11, this would compel us to produce or to reproduce other believers. In Romans 10:1, we glimpse Paul's zeal for evangelism. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. So fruit, therefore, translates into sharing the gospel and seeing people get saved. So that's a fruit, you know, of our experience with Christ, that it's that we want to pass that on. And I love what John Maxwell says. My goal is to get to heaven and to take as many people with me as possible. That's a great goal, you know, because it's God's desire and God's heart that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. So we're part of that. We're part of that equation. God's not sovereignly, you know, sending angels, writing messages in the sky. He is, you know, moving in the hearts. Of course, it's always God that gives the increase. He's moving in the hearts of people who have never heard of him. We hear reports and stories right now in this generation of people in the Muslim world that are having intense dreams about Jesus, and it's compelling them to pursue the truth. But the places that they're going to pursue the truth are going to be, you know, in fellowship with other with believers. They're going to ferret out a church or a Bible study or a podcast or something, some source of information. And so God partners with us. He chooses to partner with us in sharing the gospel. He's got no other methodology or plan in place other than that. And it's an honor and a privilege, and it's humbling and scary and all of the above to consider that this is God's plan for reaching mankind. He's using us.
Jesus was very clear about that, you know, both when before he left, before the cross, before his ascension, he talked about go and tell, you know, go and tell, be my witnesses.
Right.
Just tell the truth, tell what they've seen, tell what they've done. We were watching John Adams' movie last night, and you know it starts off with that scene with the John Adams having to cover the soldiers, the British soldiers in the incident.
Yeah.
And it was hard, but he had to get witnesses to come and tell the truth.
Right, right.
And that, you know, the court of law, whatever you want to call it, but that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to show him to other people.
Yeah.
That's the evangelical part, I think.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And that's, and as people hear and respond to the gospel, that's fruit. That's fruit bearing. That's reproducing after our kind.
That's right.
In the spirit, you know, in spiritual kind.
Right. It's the same seed, right? We plant the seed that has been planted in us, and that's Christ. And Christ said in Matthew 5, you know, not to leave your light under a bushel. So we're supposed to share it and let it have its power and changing other people. And that's what we try to do here. Encourage people to walk in and to walk in the way they were made to walk, to become the people they were meant to become. Go forth as Christ commanded in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples and teach everything that he taught to us. You know, so
exactly. This is what we call the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. And of course that, you know, commission reverberates through the ages to everyone. It applies to us just as much as it applied to the 120 in the upper room or the 12 apostles and the first century believers, et cetera, et cetera. So we all have and wear that Great Commission and should be engaging in it in some way, shape, or form. Had a pastor years ago who talked about lifestyle evangelism, which we sometimes like to use as a sort of disclaimer, as if to say, well, you know, I practice lifestyle evangelism and I embrace what St. Francis of Assisi said, you know, share the gospel and if necessary, use words. Those, you know, those are great little Christian cliches, but he said that there are two types of lifestyle evangelism. One is indeed living the gospel in front of people, you know, and they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They'll witness that, that the change in you, for instance. But the other form of lifestyle evangelism is to have a lifestyle of evangelism. Oh. So that's my lifestyle. Oh. My lifestyle is I get up in the morning and I'm, you know, my face is set like a flint to share the gospel with people, with somebody. So, that's a sobering and convicting thought, I think, for most of us. And we should all be up our game in this regard. It's not condemnation, but it's just a stirring that this generation definitely needs the gospel. And we're well aware of how difficult it is to penetrate people's hearts or talk about this subject. But take the chance, you know, take the risk. So they're not going to like you anyway. So it doesn't matter. Another fruit is the fruit of good works. So this is a possible answer to the question. What's Jesus talking about when he says bear fruit? It'd be the fruit of good works. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, let your light, we already said this, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The statement glorify your Father is a similar usage to our opening verse in John 15:8, right? That God would be glorified. Mm-hmm. Good works are an important component in the believer's new life in Christ. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are actually created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Good works should certainly include sharing the gospel, but also have a much broader scope. You know, it may include, you know, visiting the sick, helping somebody out financially, holding somebody's hand through a bad situation without saying any words, you know, without jumping in with scripture verses that are just going to, you know, supposedly fix everything. So good works has a much broader scope. And this is something that the early church was famous for, you know, especially during the plagues. Early Christians would go in and minister to people who were sick, where others, you know, would not, you know, because they might get sick and die too. But
sometimes those people did, you know, sacrifice their life to take care of somebody else.
It did.
But I think we see that throughout the ages, that there are always somebody that's willing to go into a scary situation and be willing to preach. You know, it often makes you think of that the gentleman who was killed by that native tribe, and then the wives went back.
Jim Elliot. Yeah, great example.
Showed the love of Christ to that tribe that had just killed their husbands. And it was like, wow, this Jesus, this God must be really important. Mm. And he would come back and tell us about him, even though we were so cruel and killed your husband. Mm.
Yeah, that's a great example. And even, again, to fold back on Francis of Assisi, his ministry was to the lepers in the leper colonies, and he ministered to the lepers for many, many years, and eventually contracted leprosy. You know, but so he genuinely laid his life down as a living sacrifice. Mm. And so all these are expressions of works. Okay, we know that we're not saved by these works, but it should be an expression of our relationship with Christ. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. So acts of kindness. And I have a gentleman in our church tell me he went to the playground with his children, and they had these bubble blowing guns, basically. It would blow bubbles, right? And
I love those.
He only has two kids, but he had four guns. So he brought the other two guns because he realized that when he went to the playground that, you know, his children would play and it would attract the attention of the children. So they brought the other one so other kids could participate, you know. And sure enough, some other kids came over and they shared the guns with them, and they were playing. And my brother in Christ was saying, yeah, well, it's the parents were thanking him for sharing. And they said it was the Christian thing to do. And he made a point of saying that. And then I said, did you make a point of inviting him to the church? And he said, and I said, you know, we do have evangelism cards that they hand out in mass at the front door. And he said, next time I'll bring the evangelism cards with me. And I'm like,
sometimes
you found peace in our church. Why not share it with someone else, and they could have friends follow them to church.
I think it gets
tied up in the evangelism, but just the good of kindness, helping your neighbor. I've had guys testify of shoveling driveways for older people during the snowstorms and mowing lawns. You know, access service is one of our ministries for sure, to do
good things.
And that's our purpose. And you know, a chore becomes a mission when you do it for the Lord, you know, when your motivation is right, when you're not just trying to get an attaboy, you know, and get thanked because I'm a good person. But
I'm a good person. Oh, my
serving the kingdom, you know, instead.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. These are little ways that we advance the gospel, and we find opportunity in these engagements with other people to have some conversation, and hopefully that conversation comes around to the things of God and how Christ has set us free. Speaking of acts of kindness, I said in number three, not to be neglected, is the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So here, fruit is spoken of directly, and it's told of in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such there is no law. And so the fruit, again, we're asking the question when Jesus says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. We're asking the Lord, what does that mean, to bear fruit? Mm-hmm. And here is a very direct answer, that the fruit of the Spirit are such things. Now, the two aspects of the fruit of the Spirit are noteworthy to mention. First is that it must, like natural fruit, be cultivated and mature. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't not everybody gets saved and is immediately walking in goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As a matter of fact, anybody's lucky to get one of those in a lifetime, you know, through sanctification. Ooh. But the second point is it's difficult to identify. You know, most people would say that you'll know it when you see it. So see someone walking in that. Mm. But, you know, it's oftentimes difficult to quantify that because, you know, your friend was acting in kindness by sharing. But, you know, somebody else at the playground might say, oh, I'm very offended by guns. You know, you shouldn't be bringing guns to the playground. This is very... You never know. Your greatest act of kindness, it might very well be offensive to somebody. That's just the world that we live in. Everybody's offended by something these days. So oftentimes our gestures can be misinterpreted. And so it becomes complicated in that regard. But speaking in a negative context about false prophets, Jesus says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Mm. And so I'm assuming that there's
a... as well as there's positive fruit.
Yeah. Mm. And I'm assuming that there's by the positive fruit, we will be recognized. Mm. And so we've got a very good list to work on there. Mm. Self-control alone is... we should put that one under the microscope on a daily basis.
And I, as teachers, always like to give homework. You know, get the kids, go practice this, go do this at home, you know, do this. And so here we're saying, dear listener, dear watcher, here's a little bit of homework from the teachers.
Yeah.
Pick up these fruits and start trying to work through them.
Exactly.
And as you say, it's got to be, you know, cultivated and matured. That's means we grow our capacity for these things. And the spiritual, you know, in the Christian life, we really have to grow our capacity in everything from the spiritual disciplines to these fruit. You know, when you start reading the Bible, it might be a little difficult at first, you know, to get a hold of the language, try to figure out what it means. When you start praying, maybe you can only pray for a few minutes and then you pray, you know, you can start praying for longer periods of time. And but we have to grow in the spiritual disciplines and we have to grow in our goodness and our faithfulness and, you know, being kind and being patient. Don't pray for patience, though.
You might get it.
You might have to wait for it. The Lord might help you along the way by giving you a trial to grow patient in.
That's the way it happens.
So
I think that's with any of those. If you pray any of those, you're going to be given something that's going to test your ability to have joy, test your ability to have peace.
Yeah.
Test your ability to love somebody even when they are being cruel and unkind and unloving.
Yeah. Pastor Finn years ago actually did a study on the anointing oil. We all want the anointing, right? Well, the anointing oil was a composition of several herbs and oils. Olive oil was, and there was a typology to how these oils are acquired. Beating the trees with steel rods. Calmus and cassius are two herbs that were in the anointing oil. He said scraping with a knife the tender roots and things of that sort. So this is, if you fold it over into typology, the anointing comes through trial and tribulation and hardship and hard, you know.
And olive oil, I think, is in a press, right? So you have to crush it.
Yeah, crush. Yes.
Pressure. Mm. Otherwise, you don't get the oil out. Yeah. Mm.
Speaking of past studies and teachers, I love, you know, we're all standing on the shoulders of people that have taught us the Word of God and taken the time to disciple and to minister to us. Years ago, Susanna and I attended a seminar conducted by a pastor, Skip Trombley was his name, and it was called the Christian Life Seminar, and it was based on how he had an example or a format that exposed how the Christian life or the life of an apple tree is similar in span to the life of a person, and also similar in many other ways as well, to a believer, to the life of a believer. And he had done some deep research. He had actually gone to conventions, apple growers conventions and things of that sort. And he found out some things that I was just working off memory. But for instance, a tree must be staked in order to bear good fruit and much fruit, which, again, the scripture is calling for. Straight trees bear more fruit than gangly trees. And we need to be staked to God's word was the example or the typology. Another thing was that fruit, he said that trees prefer, fruit trees in general, prefer just to produce leaves, bark, and branches. So again, they need to be pruned. And we already saw pruning as a process in our scripture today from John 15, 1 to 8. So there's some real cultivation methods that are applicable that we should recognize. Some of them are disciplines that we need to embrace. Some of this stuff just happen and we have to respond to how it happens. So we're like an apple tree. An apple tree goes for about 70 years. So some might suggest that walking in the miraculous is an expression of fruit bearing, right? This could be more clearly stated as walking in the authority that God gave us in the original design, and which was restored to us by Christ at the cross. A part of the be fruitful and multiply mandate in Genesis 1 was to subdue it, the earth, and have dominion over it, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, et cetera, et cetera. So this dominion mandate translates into the dominion that Jesus demonstrated while he walked among us. And we would, you know, identify that as being miraculous, having authority over nature and over the work, certainly the works of the devil, which inflicts hardship, corruption, pain, disease, ill health, you know, all of the above. Jesus said to the woman who was, she had a back issue. She was doubled over for years. And he said, "Shall not this daughter of Abraham be released from Satan's bondage?" You know, who has suffered for so many years, even though it was the Sabbath.
poked the nose of the Pharisees. But I think you're bringing up a great point, because sometimes we think that the healing fruit has to be like, I laid hands on somebody and their arm grew out, or I laid hand on somebody and their eyes, you know, opened. They were blind. But sometimes just the prayer of help, you know, of just calming someone, or just praying for someone that's in stress or distress, or just, you know, being there and loving on somebody, that's healing. That's also a form of healing.
Indeed. I agree with peace being one of the fruits of the Spirit. Transferring that to another person has a, I think, a supernatural component to it.
Mark, aren't you a prayer?
I was going to say, a prayer ministry. I mean, basically through the Steps to Freedom in Christ and healing prayer ministry, some amazing things. You know, people walk away from, you know, a lifelong diagnosis or manic depression with new hope. Last go round of the eight men I led to freedom in Christ, I saw a lot of freedom brought. And in one case, the man claimed to be physically healed of lifelong back pain, and
praise God,
didn't know he had it. I did it, but the Lord did it, you know, by removing all when we think about disease and things, we have to have a holistic approach. It could be body, mind, or spirit, and there are things sometimes that afflict us that if we resolve them spiritually, they'll be healed physically. And in this case, that was it. Neil Anderson writes about it extensively in The Bondage Breaker, about people being cleared of supposed epilepsy and all kinds of different. So, you know, that's why we do what we do, because we've been healed more than once, you know. And you know, whether it's physical healing or walking away before a disease can take root, or you know, being relieved of addictions or mental distress, you know, the power of the Lord has, and we humbly accept whatever He wants to give us.
Amen.
We certainly ask for it, you know, and we certainly bring it to other people when they ask for help, you know, and we don't bring it. It's the Lord who brings it. We just parties.
We're the vehicle or the instrument.
Yeah.
I love that the hymn or the song, "Make Me an Instrument of Your Peace." Again, I think that was attributed to Saint Francis again.
Well, you're into Saint Francis today.
Must be Saint Francis Sunday or something. I don't know. We could fall back on Revelation 22 again, which says, "In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Mm-hmm. So healing is a gift of the Spirit. And I think I said maybe last week or 2 weeks ago that the gifts of the Spirit, bereft of the fruit of the Spirit, usually gives way to abuses. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing how much of this dovetails together. There's a tandemness here. There's everything working, all these working together. We're not isolating one of these fruit expressions and saying, this is the thing that you have to go for. This is, you know, this is the fruit that you need to produce.
Everybody does.
Yeah. So the miraculous could be considered also a subcategory of works, since the works that Jesus did and later the apostles were typically miraculous. Mm-hmm. When we walk in the miraculous, we're bearing Christ likeness as we were intended to. Mm-hmm. So, and again, that's a clearer definition of that is walking in authority over the natural realm, an authority that we were given. You know, all authority is it's imparted from the top down. It's not like anything going on ourselves. And it's an authority given to us by Christ. It was given by God in the garden, you know, take authority or dominion over the earth and subdue it.
Yeah. And like I said, we ask, and sometimes we don't see. You know, in this last season, you know, I got introduced, I reconnected with Peter Markavich, who was doing a Conqueror series. And one of the guys in his group was a mentor to that group. And I don't recall his name, but his testimony and the reason why he was walking in faith is because early on in his faith life, his daughter was afflicted with a brain tumor. And all kinds of people came alongside him and his family to pray for her. And you know, this brain tumor was, you know, basically they were like, prepare yourself for the loss of your daughter. And to this day, the mass or whatever was you know, rendered, you know, it was no longer malignant, and it basically became a benign thing in her brain. It stopped. There's still evidence of it when they do her brain scans that they can see it, like there was something there, but it's and he stood on that. He's like, if you don't believe it, you can look at the brain scans
sure
before and after, how there was miraculous healing, you know, spontaneous healing, if you will, after all these people prayed for his daughter. And she, you know, that was in her early childhood, and she's a thriving adult, I believe, with children at this point.
That's beautiful. And that's fruit.
That's big fruit, you know.
It is fruit.
He can't explain why it happened to him and his family, but he's going to stand and testify to the truth of it.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
And testimony. Yeah. A testimony like that, you can't take away.
Right.
You can't tell somebody, no, well, that didn't happen.
Say, well, yeah. You know, that's just culture and someone made that up. Oh, no.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, this is where the gospel comes crashing into the here and now and becomes very real, very contemporary, very relevant to everybody's life. So, and you can't, you know, you can argue theology, but you can't argue a personal experience or testimony. Right. So number five that I have listed here is the fruit of righteousness. And Psalm 72 verse 3 says, may the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills, the fruit of righteousness. Mm. And before I go on, I want to camp on the word prosperity for a minute, which I didn't fold into the study as a fruit. However, you know, some people, and of course the prosperity gospel, would say that that is the fruit, you know, that Christ is looking for. The abundant life that he expresses in John 10:10. And we could even look also expressed here in John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. You know, and that prosperity gospel, I'm not completely opposed to it, but I think it can and often is, especially in this culture, terribly abused. I have desire for a lot of things, and you should see my pickup truck. You know, I have desire for that to be miraculously restored somehow and made new, like 2024 new kind of thing. And this is, you know, this is the thing that a lot of people are running around naming and claiming and grabbing and stabbing or that sort of thing. I'm not here to speak condemnation to anybody. I'm just pointing out that some would say that that's the fruit that Jesus is speaking to. But let's take this to a higher level and talk about the fruit of righteousness for a moment, okay? Righteousness is living in alignment with the will and design of God. So that's what righteousness is. His ways are right. And when we abide in them and follow after, hard after his ways, then we're walking righteously.
Can I just touch on the abundance thing for a moment? You know, Christ did say, you know, we'll have life and have it more abundantly. But I just did a quick search, basically, of the definitions of abundance is saying having more than you need. Well, in Christ, we definitely have more than we need.
We already do. Yeah.
And it's not necessarily affluence, which is a lot of money. You know, it's an abundant life that we're promised in Christ, and he is certainly more than we need. And whereas affluence is a lot of money, where he didn't say we had an affluent life, he'd say it would be an abundant life. So I would just point out his provision for us, you know, basically stretches beyond the material. Granted, we can be, and saints and people in the Bible basically had, you know, great wealth or whatever, but all of it's without anything, without, you know, a covenant relationship with the Lord where you're going to have peace with God, you know, through Jesus Christ. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. And the is how we can see how we change. It's like we were like that and we change into doing the right thing, you know.
Right. Now, I was thinking the same thing, Mark, about contentment, thinking of Paul saying, I've learned how to be content in when I abound and when I abase.
You're right.
You know, and then I think about when our daughter Sarah went to Guatemala for a missions trip when she was a teenager. And one of the things that struck her so was she came back, she said, they have nothing, but they're happy and they enjoy their lives and they love. They smile and they share what they have, the little that they have, they share. And I think that's where God is trying to point us. Jesus was always counterculture.
Right.
When he says the abundant life, he doesn't mean lots and lots of money. Although if you have lots and lots of money, then share it. But if you have just a little bit of money, he said the widow's mite.
Right.
She shared what she had.
Yeah.
So, but we need to find content. Righteousness, I think, honey, with me, connects in with contentment.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. And affluence, unfortunately, is often leads us to a place of being contrary and discontent, contrary to the gospel. Of course, Paul says the love of money is the root of all evil, and having a lot of money often leads us into a love affair with it. Now, again, this is not to condemn anybody who has a lot of money, who has worked hard and acquired, and there are many, you know, great people in the Christian saga who have, you know, made a lot of money and accomplished much with it, for missions, for building churches, for helping people randomly in need. So money is a vehicle, but it's easily abused. And so we have to hold that in check and be careful with that expression to say, well, fruit translates into affluence or abundance. Let's see. I said here that it may be well thought of as a combination of all of the above, the fruit of righteousness, everything that we've already discussed. Matthew 3:8.
Alignment with the will and design of God is righteousness. I think that's a great definition there that you have in the study. Righteousness is living in alignment with the will and design of God. That's being right.
Matthew 8, John the Baptist. Repentance is moving from unrighteousness to righteousness. And he goes on to say in verse 10, he says, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Mm-hmm. Notice it's not just fruit that we're called to bear, but we're called to bear good fruit. Mm-hmm. The Beatitude in Matthew 5:10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. There's real abundance right there. You know, again, abundance is more than we need or deserve. And if we're going to receive the kingdom of heaven, wow, that's a lot. That's pretty abundant right there. But there's a qualifier. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. That means walking in righteousness first and then being persecuted because of it. Like, wow, oh boy, I didn't sign up for this. Well, guess what?
and you wouldn't think that would happen, but guys, that's what happened to Jesus.
That's what happened to Jesus.
If we're going
to
follow him, he did everything perfectly. We're going to be far short of that. And he was persecuted. So we could expect it too. The more we're like him, the more likely we will be persecuted as well. So, yeah.
And that's not a statement to say don't become a Christian, don't become a follower of Christ. but you have to recognize that, again, back to the testimony, like the guy with the daughter with the brain tumor, and I think back on the disciples, they had every opportunity to renounce Jesus as Lord, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Because they had been with him.
Yeah.
And they went to they did suffer persecution, because people don't like it when you have a testimony that cannot be shaken.
Yeah. Right. And it goes right to the Gospel of John in the beginning. You know, men hated the light because they loved their own sinfulness, basically.
Right.
Quick paraphrase of that sentiment. And like, yeah, that's the thing. When we come in and shine our light, it exposes darkness. And, you know, people don't like that. They just want to be left alone, and they don't want to be judged, and they'd rather stay in their sin, you know. So
it's. Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the application form if you really want to become a Christian. Every believer is called to share the gospel, to do good works, to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, and to know their spiritual gifts and aim to walk in righteousness as well. Our righteousness, we know, is in Christ, but that doesn't exempt us from demonstrating and growing in righteousness with the help of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Demonstrating this Christ-likeness is the fruit of our union with him. Mm-hmm. Let's just take a moment to drink that in. It's the fruit of our love affair with Christ, okay? We're called to be fruitful and multiply in the form of procreation. That's the fruit of our love relationships in the natural plane. The fruit of our love relationship with Christ is all of the above: sharing the gospel, cultivating the fruit of the Spirit, knowing our spiritual gifts and using them, and aiming to walk in righteousness. So this is what's produced by our love affair with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that the Greek word for fruit is karpos. I'm gonna roll those R's, karpos, and from Strong's G2590, from the base word G726, harpezo, fruit, meaning fruit as plucked, which also means caught up, as in the rapture, and is also used in Matthew 11:12, the violent take it by force. The kingdom of God is advancing, suffering violence, and the violent take it by force. Those are all the uses of fruit or form thereof, in the scripture. To unusual uses that we wouldn't necessarily ascribe to fruit. But I think that speaks to us. I think that speaks to us. And that's why I included it in the study. So it's spring. Mm-hmm. It's spring. Let's blossom. Yeah. Let's aim to bear much fruit. Fruit that remains. A good fruit that remains. Okay. All of the above. Are the qualifiers that God gives us and set an example with Christ dwelling among us, that he walked in righteousness and bore good fruit and was persecuted, as we said, but rose again on the third day.
Amen.
Now that's fruit right there. Mm-hmm. I like that fruit. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, bless you.
If you have anything to add?
Let me just pray this out, I guess.
All right. Excellent. Yeah. Great. Thanks, brother.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for bearing fruit in our lives. Lord,
yes.
Drive us to encourage one another each week through Arthur's Bible studies, maintaining our friendship. That's a real fruit of our faithfulness in Christ. We wouldn't be here otherwise. Really, you brought us together, Lord, and we thank you for our friendship and that we get to celebrate each week this study. And Lord, we thank you for all the fruit that's come forth from the day we first said yes to Jesus Christ, and how we've grown exponentially in our life because of your love and your grace and our willingness to follow you. Lord, we just pray for your seed to be planted and to grow in the hearts of our hearts and the hearts of others today. As your word will be preached, we pray for it to be made alive in someone's heart and mind today, as they make their decision for Christ, or decide that they agreed to follow you, but they haven't done it in earnest, and today they're going to recommit themselves to follow you, Lord, and serve your kingdom, and serve your kingdom only. And so we just pray for that to happen through the work of faithful pastors throughout the world today as they deliver your word. And we pray for you to bless the fruit that'll be produced, the fruit of worship and praise that'll come through the worship teams today, as you'll take just a normal morning and make it something to be exalted in as we get to into the Lord, how good you are, Lord. So we just pray for you to bless that, and pray for you to bless the fellowship of the saints, that we come along aside one another to encourage one another to grow in our faith. You know that all these fruits don't happen without you. So we're asking you to reap a harvest in our hearts and minds to draw us further into your kingdom and your purposes on earth, and that you would draw other people in to walk with us. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Amen. Wow.
Right. Well, that was a great study, and I love how at the end you took the fruit And you pointed to that they're really an outflow of the love relationship we have with the Lord, that you put it properly, that it wasn't the fruit that produced the relationship, it's the relationship that produces the fruit.
Right.
And we want to thank all the people who are in relationship with us through our Bible study or through
Yes.
Listening to the podcast or watching us on YouTube. We want to thank the six people who subscribed to us this week.
Yes.
We like to watch the number go up.
Okay.
We don't know what the numbers mean all the time, but if they go up, it seems good. So we thank you. We invite you to check us out every day as we try to produce something to encourage your faith with
Right.
our podcast and blog. We certainly invite you to check out the old teachings we've done, as we have over 100 Bible studies in video, and over 140 all told, as we've been doing it faithfully for a few years now.
Holy cannoli.
Fruit in itself. So we want to thank you for being a part of our fruitful lives, and
yes.
to be a part of yours as we meet again next week. So God bless you.
Yes.
Thank you.
God bless.
Amen. God bless.